Blog Talk Radio.
Sports. It's what inspires all school children to believe that they are the best in the world.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you want.
Through all the ups and all the downs.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
And now, what you've all been waiting for all week, it's Saturday Night Sports with me, your host, the captain, along with Brother X, Seth, and the one and only Coach Viper.
Holy shit, it's Viper.
Now sit back and enjoy the one thing that really matters to Americans, and that is sports. I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where on Saturdays we forget about all the evil in the world and we talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Well, tonight's top headlines, NFL. Jim Brown dies at 87. This guy had a life. I've got his stats. We're going to cover his stats, and I've got something very interesting that I found in his stats. And you know, if you ever heard this show, I talk about you must be, to get into the Hall of Fame, it shouldn't be a popularity contest, and it shouldn't be 30, 40 years afterwards. It should be, and then screw the 5 years. Look, you get in by, were you dominant at your position, whatever position it was, whatever you did in your sport, whatever the hell your job was at your particular sport, were you dominant at, you know, the majority of your career? I'd say like 95% or whatever the figure you want to figure out. You might have a couple of years where, you know, you had a couple of problems. And you work your way out of it, and look what you did. So were you dominant in your position in your era, when you played, were you dominant at your position throughout your career? If so, yeah, then you get in. It has nothing to do with popularity contests and then these stupid sports writers voting. Who the hell is vote? No, it has nothing to do with a vote. I mean, shut up. A vote, it shouldn't be a vote. It should be, do you deserve to get in or do you not? And Pete Rose, whatever you want to say, 4256, says it all. Hall of Fame, period. Ah, don't get me started, because I will. I'll go off. I'll do it. And I've done it. But I don't want to do it tonight. We got a lot to talk about. San Diego State University concluded Friday that there are no findings against former Buffalo Bills punter Matt Araiza. I guess that's how you pronounce it, Araiza. But he was a punter with Buffalo. He was released by Buffalo. And now we find out a year later, oops, yeah. Yeah, this kid wasn't even anywhere near this supposed incident whenever it occurred. Now, why didn't this crap come out a long time ago? This is what I'd like to know. This pisses me off. Why did none of this come out immediately? And why would the Buffalo Bills be so quick to release him? I mean, are people that afraid? I mean, all it takes is an accusation now? See, that's the part I don't like. Well, now there's a lot of people eating crows. Now, what does this guy do? Does Buffalo, can Buffalo take him back? Does he become a free agent now? Well, if I were him, I wouldn't go back to Buffalo. I think he should become a free agent. And if there's a team out there that's looking for a punter, give him a shot. You can get him for dirt cheap now, but, you know, give him a shot. If he earns his keep, you know, pay him some. You know, you want him to do good, then pay him. But, you know, I mean, that sucks. I mean, this guy's got a, you know, whole career has been tarnished now. The whole life has to be upside down now? No, that's wrong. NFL should let him back in if he wants to play. I wouldn't go back to the Bills. I'd go free agent. Go somewhere else. And then become the best punter in the NFL, period. And they'll have to throw him in the Hall of Fame. Well, there should be punters and kickers in the Hall of Fame. They're the best at what they do. Oh, no, we can't all. Well, Aaron Judge hits 7 in 7 games. Woo! Yeah, well, why don't you do that in the playoffs, Aaron Judge? I know I hate to be so cynical. I mean, a guy does good, and then you got to criticize him. You know, that's kind of wrong. So, you know, but, you know, even Barry Bonds, you know, yeah, oh, you do great in the regular season, it comes to postseason, and, oh. You know, so, you know, that's when it counts. The regular season is, you know, preseason. That's what you're warming up for. You're warming up for the real season, which is the postseason. But that's just me. Stanley Cup playoffs. Florida versus Carolina tonight, 8 p.m. Well, my Kraken, they got beat. But hey, man, this is our second year in the NHL. Second year in the NHL. And look, you know, they did pretty good. You know, you can't complain about that. I mean, look at all the other teams that never even came close. And they've been around for how long now? Yeah. Both New York teams, I don't know where they were. I mean, even the New Jersey Devils. Oh, God, New Jersey. At least they made it. They got spanked pretty hard pretty quick. But, you know. Well, it looks like we do have a caller on board tonight. If you do want to speak tonight, just press the number 1 on your phone. It'll give me an icon, tells me that you want to talk. So, well, it looks like Viper's not going to be making it tonight. Seth should be coming in pretty soon. Oh, there he is. It is Seth. Oh, that is the new icon. Blog Talk Radio changed the icons on me, so... Anyway, I apologize. Bartender, another round, please. Oh, good God. All right, Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday. Yeah, I saw the number and I only know the last 4. And for whatever reason, I didn't recognize it. And then...
No, it's fine. I'm kind of like Scott Brocious. Like... Regular season, okay. And then when it's in crunch time, I deliver.
Scott Brocious was the greatest 9-hole hitter I think I've ever seen play. No, seriously, he was clutch. Well, you know, that's perfect.
It was
because,
unbelievable.
Because you've got a 9-hole hitter and there may be somebody on base.
I'm not even looking up on Google right now. I'm going to say his lifetime playoff batting average was at least .327. I want to say .346.
No, look that up.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'm going to have now that I said it. But you couldn't believe it. It was a guy that helped Derek Jeter get 5 rings.
Well, you know, it was great because, you know, the 9-hole hitter, there may be, you know, 1 or 2 stragglers laying on base. And here you got a 9-hole hitter who acts more like a 3 or 4-hole hitter, and he's able to jack a double, a triple, or a home run just to piss everybody off and, you know, tack on a couple of more runs. And now you've got the 1-hole coming up, and then you got Derek Jeter, which is the 1 or 2, and then you got your whole batting, the Bombers coming up, and then by then, when that happened, you knew that was the end. You were not going to win the game. The Bombers, I mean, Brocious just cleared the benches, and now you've got, you know, the starting lineup coming up. And no, it's game over at that point.
Oh no. And it was so crazy because a lot of times people don't realize in baseball, if your nine hitter is something like that and they do something unbelievable, then you get to your top four again, maybe. And how many times did you see two out rallies that the entire rotation hit twice?
You know, there's nothing like a two-out rally in baseball. You know, if it's your team, and let's say you're down by, you know, five or six runs in the bottom of the ninth, two outs, all it takes is for somebody just to get on base. It could be a walk, could be a hit by pitch, you know. It could be anything, a bunt, whatever. And then you go on a two-out rally and you win the game. There's nothing gooder than that, period. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, anyway, no. Let's get into tonight with Jim Brown. Now, I want to cover some of his stats. And I noticed something during, you know, this particular kind of like, I don't know what, Pro Football Reference. That's what it's called. Well, anyway, I didn't realize what it was, why the numbers were highlighted. And I found out they have it in small print, and I found it, and it said, bold indicates league leader. Meaning you led the league in whatever the stats. Well,
right.
In Jim Brown's era, when he played, from 1957, his last year was
1965.
So we got a weird echo. What the hell is that?
Yeah, no, I can hear it too.
Okay. Anyway, his last year was 1965. That was 9 years. Well, for a running back, that's a hell of a, you know, 9 years that, you know, back then, because that's all they did. They didn't really pass a lot. So, I mean, running backs, that's even today, 9 years is a, you know, a career.
I think in the NFL to get a pension, I think you have to play at least 3.5 years, something like that. And the average lifespan of an NFL player is 3 years. So 9 years.
Well, here, this is what's interesting. I started looking at this, and I'm going to point out several things. First, I was looking at this, and I was going, it says up there games and games started, games you played in and games started. Well, in 1957, I had forgotten because it said 12. Well, back then they only played 12 games.
Exactly.
Yeah, they only played 12 games. Well, then they went to 14, and then after that, I think a few years after that, they went to 16. That was 70, 16. Whatever. Yeah, 16.
Right, and then just 1 or 2 years ago, 17.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You know?
So, anyway,
which, I mean, you can already see the 18 on the handwritten wall, but anyway, go ahead.
I'm looking at this, and It's got year 57, game started, 12. That was every game he played when he started. And then 14. He played every single game. He started every single game for 9 years straight as a running back in the NFL. Not one game did he not start. That right there is a feat in itself.
Oh, no.
The
game has changed so much that no matter what he was paid back in those days, which was probably the best in the NFL, right? Nowadays, you have to look at these players as major investments. And you have to say every once in a while, hey, we're playing a light team. I want this other guy behind you and the other guy behind him, what they can do as a running back duo. take the day off, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not risking your knee for your $30 million a year or whatever. You know, I'm just not.
But, I mean, this guy comes out of college. He goes straight to the NFL. He plays every single game for his entire career. Every single year, he played every single game, not one game.
That's never going to happen again, ever.
It's never. I mean, look at the running backs today. They do that. No. They do not exist. Well, then I started looking at yards, and that's when I wanted to find out what the bold indicated. Well, his rookie year, he got his first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. His first 5 years in the NFL, he led the league in yards. In rushing. Rushing yards, he led the league. And then next year, he got 996 yards, which was about 52 more than his rookie season, which was 942. Well, 996 was more yards than he got his rookie season, but he didn't lead the league. That was the only year that he did not lead the league his entire career.
Well, no, and that's why, ironically, when you talk about original stats and this and that, even as us, as kids, grew up, and we always thought that if you got 1,000 yards rushing in a season, that was a big deal. Well,
he goes from 940.
We were used to the 12 and 14 game seasons that began with those stats as folklore. So nowadays, I mean, you know, it's like in passing or whatever. These quarterbacks, if they're not throwing 4,000 plus yards, they're not a good quarterback. Because we have some that throw 5,000 plus yards. It's everything is unbelievable and out of your mind because we're not playing 12-game seasons anymore or 14. We're playing 17.
Well, this is another thing that I noticed because he goes from 942 in 12 games. And then the next year he goes to 1527, so 600 yards more. And then he was in double digits, 14, 12, 13, 18, 14, 15, except for the 996 in 1 year. Well, the most he ever played was 14 games. Well, you look at Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders. Well, they had more yards in a season than Jim Brown, but they played four more games.
Right.
Every season. They played four more games. Played two more games, you know, the last half of his career. So he would have had a lot more yards if he played 16 games for 9 years. He ended up with 12,312 yards. Well, he could have been close to, 1,500, 17, maybe 1,800, or 18,000. You know, with that many games that he lost, you could average out and try to figure it out. I mean, but still, he dominated the league in 6 times for rushing yards. That was something different. I don't understand what that is. But,
and literally, when you compare Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, and Jim Brown, in overall stats, we can look at all the numbers. Everybody could argue one way or another on whatever, but I will guarantee you, if you're talking about these three running backs, the one that I can discredit right off the bat, not even think about it, as the greatest running back in the NFL We can knock Emmitt Smith out of that conversation. It's Barry Sanders and Jim Brown. That's it. Period.
You brought Emmitt Smith because he had he played 14 seasons, two seasons there with Arizona. He didn't do very much, but he ended up with 18,000 yards. Now, he only led the league four times, and that was when, the Cowboys were, the Super Cowboys in the 90s,
Emmitt had all the tools available, and he's a north-south runner anyway, so he's touching the ball. He's gaining 4 yards every time he touches the ball. 4 yards. That's not him doing anything after anything. He hasn't even been touching anybody. He's already 4 yards ahead because that offensive line might have been one of the best in the NFL ever. Period.
Yeah. No, you didn't get anywhere without
was Nate Newsom on that line?
Well, once you got a guy like Emmitt Smith, because he's so wide, Earl Campbell was wide, and once they get into full stride, they're running at full speed because their offensive line created a giant, cavern in their defense. He gets full speed. You can't catch that.
That's why too big. The other day when Viper had sent that video on our chat, with a bow against Barry on that one. Long story short, people, Bo Jackson against Barry Sanders that day, they both averaged 8 to 9 yards a carry, both of them.
No, that was a super Sunday. And speaking of Viper, we do have Viper on board. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Hey, good to be here. Sorry, I was a little bit late. What have we covered so far?
Oh, we're talking to Jim Brown and just up here real quick. He led the league in yards rushing every year but 1 year. He played every single game of his career. As a rookie in 1957, he played all 12 games. Then in 1961, they went to 14. He played all 14 throughout the rest of his career. He never missed a single game from the time he was in the NFL, 9 seasons, led the league every year except for one. Comparing Jim Brown, and now we're up to Smith, and now we're up to Barry Sanders. Now, Barry Sanders only led the league 4 times in his career for yards rushing. Oh, I think we lost somebody.
Well, I'm here.
Is there Seth? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. With Barry Sanders, he ended up with 15,000 yards. He played
in 10 years.
Jim Brown got 12,312 yards for 9 seasons. However, what we were talking about is Barry Sanders played a lot more games than Jim Brown because they, versus 12 versus 14. So there were a lot more games played. Jim Brown, if he would have played the 9 seasons with the 16-game schedule, he would have gotten a lot more than 12,000. It would have been somewhere up there, Barry Sanders, at 15,000. But Emmitt Smith ended up with 18,000. But he played several more years, too. But
with far better teams than Jim Brown and Barry Sanders had it.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this because this was like last month or so ago. I had forgotten all about it. I think we talked about this. Brian's song Well, I had forgotten all about it because I remember watching it on TV when I was a kid. My mom said, you got to watch it. She told me all about it.
Maybe one of the best movies ever made ever, to be honest.
Well, I haven't seen that since I was a kid, and I watched it, and I said, I got in a mood, and I said I had to watch it. Well, you know, I can't tell you how many times there were, you know, tears coming down. It was like the saddest movie ever, but one of the greatest sports movies ever. And the thing about it is Gale Sayers and Dick Butkus was on that team. Those were the two elite players, one from defense and one from offense. And that team was awful. 1 year, I think they only won one game. I mean, how do you not be very good when you've got a guy like Gale Sayers who was, I don't know what his stats are, but I'm going to check those out. And a guy like Dick Butkus, which you what he can do to an offense. With players like that, why did they not ever win? I mean, you know, and it's not like George Halas was some kind of a, you know. So, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's bizarre.
Well, it's not something I witnessed enough to have an educated opinion on, but, yeah, it was. That was a very, very great movie. Great storyline, true story.
I think that's the tearjerker of it all. Is it's true? There's nothing not real about that script.
Right.
That's 100% real. So it is a tearjerker at that point. You know what I mean? Like they're
not
real.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's amazing to me that we've got players like that. That, and we all know both of them are in the Hall of Fame, but I think one just a handful of games their entire careers. How is that possible? I mean, Dick Butkus alone can destroy an offense. And Gale Sayers was no slouch when it came to running. I mean,
no. And,
yeah,
and,
well, look at Barry Sanders.
You probably talk
too.
About a person with a name that was picked on as a child, and your name is Dick Butkus.
Yeah, I know.
You are going to get picked on, and you know what? You are like, I am going to level everybody one day and become a linebacker for the Bears.
Well, see, in college, he went by Richard. He went by Richard Butkus. He didn't go by Dick until he got in the NFL. But no, it wasn't Dick Butkus in college, because I've heard of a whole bunch of he was crazy in college, too, this guy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You grew up as a kid. Yeah, he was just playing it cool, keeping his name Richard. Yeah. As soon as he got to the NFL, it became.
But I mean, again, how do you have one of the best players on defense and one of the best players on offense, scoring-wise, and a defense player that stops them from scoring? How is it that you just can't? You don't have a winning season. It's amazing to me. It's just...
Well, and going back to, you know, the topic at hand with Jim Brown, I mean, the Cleveland Browns were never great with him. I mean, he was the best running back maybe in history, definitely in that era, but the Cleveland Browns never could beat them. And I read a story about Jim Brown. He talked about the difference in yesterday's athlete versus today's athlete. Jim Brown was drafted by the Browns. And obviously his skill and his ability, he was very, very coveted, to where back then the Steelers, I had read, wanted to pull him off the team and add that kind of talent to their already Super Bowl caliber team. And Jim Brown turned it down. He said, this is the team that drafted me. This is the team that, you know, I'm going to stay with. And if they don't have the money to pay me, then I'll take a lower pay. But, you know, he had loyalty to the team that drafted him and stood by him. And can you imagine anyone doing that today in this era where, I mean, there is no loyalty
system in college sports? So, no.
No.
That's over. That's
no.
Done.
Yeah, it's over with. And, I mean, yeah, he could have made more money maybe. He could have won a Super Bowl ring with the Steelers or any other team in that era that might have been better than the Browns.
Oh, no. And when you see that type of loyalty by anybody on any sports team or any sports organization, you have to appreciate it. And, just being a Las Vegas Raiders fan, once you're silver and black, you're in the club.
Never
dude.
Go back.
It's a lifelong club, dude. It's a lifelong. It's a cool thing. If you made it there, you made it.
Yeah, you know, but it's a shame because you see these guys and you just want to see them do something good and win it, but they never do. Look at Ty Cobb. He went to the World Series, three times in a row and lost it. He never won. He won as a manager, but never won as a player.
Oh, no. And if you won one as a manager like him, dude, he's in the club. But he knows he would have rather had won as a player over any that he won as a manager. 100%. When he was competing. But he was the whole team.
Right. Different era for sure, but.
No, I mean, you're hitting 400.
Well, then when Jim Brown was done, he stayed with the Browns and went to the front office. You know, I mean, how many times do you see that? I mean, just complete and total loyalty and, you know, really sad.
Oh, no.
He offered a lot of mentorship to young black athletes. Forum, a lot of really good altruistic causes that he did, and he was not just great for football as a player. He was great for football in his days after a player. So, yeah, that's definitely a big loss for the sport of football this week.
Oh,
Dirty
no.
Dozen.
I was gonna say him as actor is what. A lot of people would only know Jim Brown as because his last NFL game was 1965. So
right.
He really was a big time actor, and you knew when he was in a film, it's going to get physical confrontation, something, you know, he's the person you didn't want to mess with.
No, he was a big guy, man. And, no, he was a good ambassador to football. And, of course, you know, he was a diehard Cleveland Brown. And I'm glad he didn't move over to Baltimore, you know, when they moved. He stayed, you know, true to Cleveland. Then when they came back, you know, and, I mean – you know, it's weird, but I mean, on the worst team, but he's leading the league and, you know, amazing. Leading
no,
the league
and then the
every year of his
about
career.
Baltimore and Cleveland and Art Modell is that the Ravens have at least one Super Bowl ring. The Cleveland Browns have zero.
Well, I think it's Cleveland. It's got to be in the water, or it's got. I don't know. I don't know what the hell it is. But the Indians have won it like a million years ago. But their football team, since it went to the Super Bowl, look, it jinxed a lot of teams. It jinxed the Lions. It jinxed a lot of teams. Vikings. You know, Bengals. The Bills. I mean, screwed them up.
Oh, I know. Sometimes, like, when I want to remember old school football and just see great coaches like Mark Levy, Bud Grant, that sort of stuff, and these great teams that went to a Super Bowl a lot and they still lost. But half of their Super Bowls, they only lost in the last minute or two, which that's a heck of a Super Bowl. But the other ones were blowout.
when you get a blowout.
Like, you left at halftime.
Well, hey, look, with the Patriots, I remember calling my mom, and my mom was a big Brady hater. For whatever reason, she's an old German.
Oh, the Atlanta Falcons game? Is that the one that you're talking about?
Oh, my God. And I'm watching it, and I was teasing her, you know, because I was actually, I didn't really care. I just was watching the game, and I was having fun.
No, right, yeah. That
but
one,
I called
everyone's
and,
thinking the Falcons are, this is it.
Well, I called her and said, oh, I bet you're happy. She goes, oh, this is great. Well, coming into the third quarter, I mean, there was like a minute or two left is when they scored. And I was just thinking to myself, you know what? If there's ever a team that can come back, it's going to be this team. And sure enough, and whatever, that was a great game. I mean, they had the game won. All they had to do was play the fourth quarter, and they couldn't do it.
No, all they had to do was get past a three and out. That was it. They had to have one drive that got them a first down. That was it. They could have won the game just doing that. They did not.
Look at the Bills with 14 seconds. You had the game in your hands. You had the game in your hands. You were holding the game. You were holding the trophy in your hands. You were holding the game in your hands. You had 14 seconds, and you could not stop. You could not stop it. You couldn't do anything to keep the clock ticking. They kept calling timeout. You couldn't stop the run. You couldn't stop nothing. And, well, the Chiefs ended up winning. That was another remark. That was a great season.
Oh,
that was probably
that
greatest season
seriously
ever.
Was the greatest thing of everything in the playoffs I've ever seen in my entire life.
You had
no idea who is going to win it going into the last 30 seconds. You know, like,
well, the greatest playoffs, every game
way.
Decided by 3 points, by a kick. Every game decided by a kick. I mean, that, you know, that's just beautiful. That, well, the NFL did a nice job of, well, I don't know how they could predict it, but anyway, it just, the forces turned out an incredible postseason, probably the greatest postseason of any sports, period. Now, it's hard to repeat last year, but last year was
like
still
good.
Like
if ESPN did like a top 10 sort of stuff, like 30 for 30 stuff, that had to be in there.
Absolutely.
Like, well, I would put it in there without even thinking about anything else that ever happened in sports history. I could put that one in there. Like, it's safe. I don't know where it's at. But as a fan, it was amazing. And I don't bet, for the people that do, that had to be the most stressful time of your life. No matter what you had, going on in that action, oh, no.
Well, last year had a great postseason. I thought it was fun. It was good. I didn't like the Super Bowl. I thought it was kind of boring. But I was glad that Mahomes beat the Eagles because, you know, I am a biased Eagle hater. Sports hate, not a hate. But... No, it was just fun
right,
to watch them lose.
John Elway for the Broncos. I know.
Yeah, oh, God. Oh, my God. In the kingdom, nothing better than Elway. There's nothing better than watching him get sacked. And the kingdom just goes, we're losing by 5 million, and it doesn't matter. We sacked John Elway, and that's all that matters. We're all drunk anyway. It doesn't matter. And, you know, it was a rowdy time in that kingdom, man. We had a lot of fun. Ronnie
oh,
times,
no,
man.
And even as a Raiders fan, you just know, you never liked the dude personally, but you knew he was a great athlete. Half that, he was. It sucks to say. And
yeah.
Single-handedly, he could beat you. Single-handedly.
No, it was just... you know, just a lot of fun. But, yeah, I was getting back to his Jim Brown. Seth, Jim Brown, I mean, he did a lot more business-wise. He had, I think he's written some books. I know he worked with a lot of communities. And he wasn't just a spokesperson that, you know, like Sally Struthers, you know. She gets fatter and fatter after every commercial. Oh, yeah, send money for food. Yeah. Why don't you give up some of your lunch?
Oh, my God. Starving kids in Africa.
I know.
She's getting plumper. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, my God. I've only been on the show 3 years, so I don't have the whole history, but when has Sally Struthers' name ever been on a sports show? That's what I want to know. I don't know if we sadly or triumphantly broken a new ground with that comment.
Well, I was trying to be metaphoric, but you know, he was the real deal is my point. You know, he wasn't
right.
Yeah, but that is a first for Sally. But no, he was the real deal. He cared about what he did, and you know, he was passionate about what he did, and you know, in his movies, you know, I mean, he did a good job as cameos. And that kind of stuff. He was a good sport. You know, in the 70s, he would do those, TV
shows.
Oh,
yeah,
those some
black
kind of
kung fu movies. Do you remember those?
Oh.
Yeah, no, they were a weird offset, dude. Like, you would never know what was happening. Yeah. He probably pick up Bruce Lee and throw him.
I also watch Bruce Lee movies, but
Then Bruce Lee
lands in the parking lot
like 360
spin.
Yeah, it was crazy.
We'd go in the parking lot, we'd start kicking each other, and you know, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. But every Saturday, we'd go get a doubleheader and watch, you know, Bruce Lee. But you know, they are, speaking of that, it is, athletic, but that's. That's a different kind of a medium. I mean, that's more mental, but still very, very, very physical. Well, some of these guys, you know, that are athletes, I mean, some of them do take some of that, and I think, you know, a lot of that could, you know, you could direct some of that stuff with what you do and, you know, improve your game. Especially football is, I'm not saying that you've got to do a karate chop. But there's ways to, you know, move your body out of the way. You know, some guys are just natural. And Barry Sanders probably, if he took on karate or jujitsu or whatever the hell you call it, I'm sure he probably could master it. You know, because he has that kind of a... Me, I wouldn't. But... So, anyway, this story really bugs me because it just bothers me of how quick people are to come to judgment over something and they overreact. They're not reacting. They are overreacting. Well, the San Diego State University concluded Friday that there are no findings against former Buffalo Bills punter Matt Areja. How do you pronounce that last name? Areja? Arizaria?
I think it's Azaria or something like that.
Areja? Well, anyway, the point is they found out that he wasn't even anywhere near this particular incident that so-called occurred. Well, there's other names that are involved in it, too, but they weren't. Here's the thing. They weren't mentioning these other names for whatever reason. They were only mentioning his name. Well, he's the only one who's getting his name slammed. The other guys that was supposedly mentioned, the media never mentioned their names for whatever reason. Well, it happened evidently when he was in San Diego State. But
as a student.
Yeah, as a student, but he wasn't anywhere there. But I'd like to know, why did it take almost a year before this information came out? Well, August 5th, let me see if I can pull this up. August 5th is when the allegations came out. August 5th, allegations for 9 months before turning over their investigation to prosecutors. The police went on to investigate the allegations for 9 months before turning over their investigation to the prosecutors on August 5th, 2022. Well, the police did not recommend charges be filed. The Bills then released Frazia on August 27th. That was 22 days later, 2 days after some lawsuit that was filed. He had filed a lawsuit for defamation or something. Well, he hasn't really gone through with it all the way, but the Bills release him on that. August 5th, the police turned it over to the prosecutors and said, don't recommend charges be filed because they didn't find anything. So why? Now, this, I think he should. I want to find out, does he become a free agent automatically now that they release him if he wanted to come back in the NFL? Does he automatically come back as a free agent? Anybody pick him up?
Right. Well, yeah. If he was released, right?
Yeah, if he was released, yeah.
Yeah. Then the team has not offered you a contract and they've terminated your relationship. Yeah, you're free to go.
Well, I mean, how can the Bills, release a player so quick when the police prosecute? Well, the prosecutors, I don't think, ever prosecuted. As far as I know, the case is still open, right? Best I can tell, the best that I read.
No, regardless of that, though, we're talking about something that happened how long ago in time?
It happened, I think, in 2019 or something.
Okay, so we're talking 3, 4, 5 years?
No, the night of the alleged rapes was in October of 2021. The girl was 17 at the time, reported to the police the next day. The police went on to investigate the allegations for 9 months. So the police investigated. She reported the next day. This was October 2021. And the police investigated for 9 months. And they found nothing. And they went on August 5th and said, do not file charges. There's nothing here. And then the Bills release him on 22 days later, 2 days after he had filed some lawsuit or something. There was other students that was listed on the civil suit. They were not going to face criminal charges. So nobody's facing criminal charges, but the Bills release him. Now, to me, I think the Bills should be punished for that. That's my personal opinion. I mean, I know teams have the prerogative of doing whatever they want. A prerogative to do
whatever they
want.
And you talk about respect for kickers as a profession in the NFL. And look at the lack of representation in the Hall of Fame. Okay, it took
a
guy like
Ray Guy
to actually be the first one to be inducted. There's not many more after that. So just think about that. Yeah, if you got some type of weird reputation or something associated with the law, I don't blame a team for getting rid of you. Like, literally, you're a dime a dozen, right? A kicker's a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I know, but here's the thing. If he was a running back or a receiver, they would have never released him. They would have gotten yards out of him. My whole point is this just seems kind of low from the Buffalo Bills that it doesn't seem to me that that's an organization that wants to stand by their guys. I don't care if he's a punter or not. Does he suit up? Does he come on the field? Does he have a number on his jersey?
But that's why the Bills have never won a Super Bowl, bro. That's why. Yeah,
well,
they don't do
God.
Stuff like that. No,
well,
they have no backbone. They have no spine. They have no backbone. I'm sorry, Buffalo Bills. and the mafia, whatever you guys call yourself. You guys are dedicated, but you know it's the truth.
Well, you know. I mean, has anybody heard? Is he going to come back to the NFL? I mean, I guess he was a hell of a punter in college. If you're a team, I mean, you need a – hey, good punters, man. Say whatever you want to, but a punter can save the day or he can ruin the day. You know, so it doesn't hurt to have a good punter, you know.
Oh, hero to zero, you know.
Well, you know, the same with a kicker. I mean, you either do good or you're out. You don't get a second chance as a kicker. Kickers and punters don't get second chances. A running back, how many times does he fumble? You know, how many times do these guys fumble? Well, they get a chance. But if you're a kicker, you miss a game like Chicago when they had the Eagles won and their defense coughed it up. And then all they had to do was kick one kick, and they could win the game. You know? Slices it. Unbelievable. Well, he lost his job, and what's his name? The head coach. Yeah. No, not
Marvin.
No, that was with the Bills. I'm talking with Chicago when they
against the Eagles. Oh yeah,
yeah.
Sorry, dude. Yeah.
What was the what was the head coach? Well, he
and it
lost
was
the kicker
Chicago,
lost a job, and that was Trubisky when he came up, and he was actually doing good, man. He was actually that was a good team. That was a good Chicago Bears team. You know, they probably shouldn't have. They might have overachieved, but still, they went pretty far, and they had they did have a good defense, but their defense gave it up at the end. But you know, and that's when Trubisky, after that, his career just went downhill. I think he just got picked up by somebody.
Was
but,
that the first year though that they took Khalil Mack from the Raiders, and he was the linebacker, and that's why they went to
no. No.
Was that the first year?
Khalil Mack, no, that was, I think that was later. This was when Trubisky was, I think it was his rookie season. It could have been his rookie season or maybe his second year, but it was like his first year as a starter. And he was doing good. And then after that, they missed that kick, and the whole team hasn't done anything since. And I don't think the Bears are going to do much this year either.
Actually, I really like Fields as a quarterback. Last year, they really let him play his style as compared to what they wanted him to do. I'm more afraid of them than Skrota. And Skrota's
well,
good.
Know, well, you know about that team. They always
the Packers
have a really...
are going to suck this year in the North. The Packers,
well,
everybody's going to beat them twice. Everybody's going to beat them twice, dude. Everybody.
To say that the Packers are going to suck, yeah, it looks like they're going to suck. But let's see what Love can do. I mean, he might be a surprise. This, you know, you don't know. I mean, this kid could come out and like. Well,
no, you really look at the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. Maybe the reason why they had this opinion is this referring to Love. This kid can play. This kid in his first season, his worst record is going to be 9-8. You know. In the NFC, that still might get you in the playoffs.
Well, don't have the drama anymore. So they did a little clean house. There's a lot less pressure. There's no pressure on Green Bay right now. This is a team that is relatively young. Let's see what they can do. Now, they ended up 8-9 last year. If they go 9-8, hey, that's – you can't really bitch and complain too much. It's a winning season, and two, you know, you're not expected to do a lot. So, you know, good. Detroit, they've got to improve.
No, but just remember, though, if Aaron Rodgers would have won that last game against Detroit, becoming 9-8, they would have went to the playoffs. And the Packers in the playoffs, compared to the Seattle team in the playoffs, had a better chance of going farther than Seattle. Everybody knows this.
They could have. And I think a lot of Green Bay fans, they may not come out and say it, but they kind of feel it that they're kind of glad Rodgers is gone. And they kind of do feel that he kind of, I wouldn't say throw it, but didn't give what they expected him to give, you know, in the last few years of his career. So I think they're kind of glad that he's gone. And now they can just get back to sitting on their wooden benches at 40 below temperatures and watch their football and get back to just football. So I think it's going to be good. Green Bay may be a surprise. Chicago may turn out to be a surprise. It may give Detroit, Green Bay, and Chicago may have a run for, you know, second place. But that is assuming that Minnesota is going
to
be.
I think Love coming in to right now where the other teams are at, these other teams in the North are in a extra gear, you know, in a car speed. So, Love just has to take his beatings and his lumps this year. And then if he's any good, then the next year, oh, no. Everybody's going 1-1 against everybody, you know.
Well,
that's
it's going to be
just going to happen.
Well, there's a lot of
it's going to be a competitive division, very competitive.
Well, I think it will. I think it might be, and I think that's again what I was talking about. You know, that three-way tie for second place, but that is only assuming that Minnesota is going to be first. They do have a tendency of having a really good season, choking in the postseason, and then having a bad season. So I don't know what Minnesota is going to do yet. There are so many unknowns right now, and you've got Carolina that tried to rebuild. You've got New Orleans, Atlanta. You've got question marks with San Francisco. Who's going to be their quarterback?
Cook and Justin Jefferson. You got a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a running back that are in the top, whatever, 5-10 in each category. Dude, it's already a good team. Then you put in Hawk as your tight end. You've got a good offensive line. You got a good defense. Yeah.
Well,
they're going to make the playoffs next year, whether they win the division or not. For the North.
Well, all I'm saying is I just was assuming, but I mean, what I'm saying is there are a lot of unknowns, and especially a lot of teams. Again, Tampa Bay is not expected to do anything, and I think they're really going to be bad. But Carolina, New Orleans, and Atlanta did a lot to, you know, build up their team. So we could have a nice three-way tie in the South. Now, San Francisco, again, they are, very heavily peppered with injuries. So, but they're still probably the strongest team, which gives Seattle a big boost. But again, if the LA Rams come back and they're healthy, that's going to throw everything, you know. Arizona, I don't see that. But I mean, and again, Dallas, Philly, and the Giants, and even Washington. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of unknowns in Baltimore, Buffalo. Look, I think Buffalo, I got a bad feeling, but I think Buffalo is, if they make the playoffs, it's going to be a wild card.
Wow.
I think
so you're saying Miami or New England? Or the Jets, actually.
It's one of those three.
Yeah, I think Buffalo had their heyday, and they're done. It's over.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bills Mafia. It's over.
Well, Jets finished off 7-10 last year, and they were doing good with their quarterback. They were winning with Mike White.
With Mike White.
Mike. Yeah, White Mike, I call him, that old drug dealer. But anyway, what's his name come in, Zach Wilson. And that's, they just started losing again. They finished off losing the last six games because of Wilson. Well, just think of those last six games. Now, they ended up at 7-10. Now, I'm, you know, add 6 to 7, and that's 13. What did the Buffalo Bills end up last year winning the division with? 13. So you see what I'm saying? So now you bring in Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is motivated. And that's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. Once he gets into that mode, he gets locked in.
Oh, no, and I totally forgot about him really going to the Jets, just like the storybook that was told before with Brett Favre. But, no, Rodgers is going to take them to the playoffs in the AFC this year. And that AFC playoff system is very, very competitive.
Well, it's going to come down to Buffalo. It's going to come down to, you know, maybe one game. But, hey, look, I mean, Miami's not a slouch either. New England wants to win, too. So, yeah, beating that division. Yeah, I do see, though, Buffalo slipping. But we're going to find out game one. Game one, Buffalo plays the Jets. And then the Jets finish off the last season. They play New England, the last game of the season, to play New England. So that's, those are some good games. I mean, it could knock New England off, or if New England wins, it could bring New England in.
Oh, no. Even with the Detroit lie-down schedule,
they got a good chance.
The last two or three games are against Skrota. So, like, the NFL has played this out as a story script very well. Like, if there's potential things that could happen, you're not going to know until the last second.
Well, wouldn't it be nice to see Detroit and Minnesota last game of the season fight off who wins the division? That would be a fun game to watch.
Well, and depending on how it goes, the division wasn't as good as what they thought. Maybe the NFC East really pulled their weight, or the NFC West. Well, I'm not going to NFC South. But anyways, you win the division, but if you lose, you're not even in the playoffs.
Well, we've got Lou on the line, so let's bring Lou on board. He's got his own show as well. So, Lou, my good friend, welcome aboard, and happy Saturday.
Thank you, Captain.
Hey, we're talking about right now, you know, teams in the division. We're talking about the AFC North. With the Jets, and you are a Jet fan, and yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to the wire, and it's going to be fun to watch these teams, and we're going to find out week one.
Oh yeah,
the Jets and Buffalo, and yeah, we're all in agreement that Buffalo, I think, is going to be slipping, and it might be, you know, Miami, New England fighting off to who's going to be in second.
Yeah,
it actually could be all three, you know.
The Jets have become a hot commodity now since the announcement of Rodgers. And, you know, but the thing is, you know, what kind of Rodgers are we going to get? Are we going to get the Rodgers who won a Super Bowl at Green Bay, or are we going to get the lackluster version? So the jury's still out on that. But if Rodgers does play like he did before he became what he is now, I think it's going to be a very interesting season for gangrene. And Buffalo might want to watch out here.
Well, you know, I really think that Rodgers is coming out. He's got his mindset. And I think he wants to kind of stick it to Green Bay just a little bit. There is a little bit of animosity between, you know, the team.
Do the Jets and Green Bay happen to play this year at all?
Let me see. Hold on 2 seconds.
Asking. Like, that would be great TV, right?
Sure.
like Green Bay.
Oh, it would be great TV, but no, they're not playing. But no, that should be a great game. He should come back to Green Bay, but I don't think Green Bay wants him. I think Green Bay is glad to get rid of him. Not the team, the fans. I'm talking the management. And I think Rodgers wants to get away from him, too. There's a lot of conflict there. So I think Rodgers wants to stick it to him. And
to be honest, in Rodgers' defense, name any type of wide receiver for him ever. Just please. You know, yeah, Driver and this and that back in the day. They all disappear somehow.
Yes.
He had nobody to throw to in the last 2-3 years. I guarantee you that.
I think he's pretty stacked. Well,
with
Cobb,
the Jets
like
now?
Cobb is questionable for week one against Buffalo. But they're stacked. They got a ton of wide receivers. Oh, my God. They've got one, two. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Now, whether they're going to keep all 12, how long that's going to last, I don't know. But I think they're good to go. I think he's got some running backs. And plus, you know, the defense wasn't bad last year. I think I think your Jets, man. Well, it's their year to win it. It is set up for them to win. All the Jets have to do is do it, because the NFL is pretty much handing them, you know, here, take it.
No, but if you realistically think about this, if Aaron Rodgers comes in year one, and it's probably now, it's now or never, it's not going to be year two or three. He wins the Super Bowl for the Jets. Is he a bigger name than Joe Namath?
Lou?
Well, like I said, it should be very interesting, you know, coming this season. You know, the Jets have had a lot of heartbreak over the past few years with one quarterback after another, and I think maybe the tables can turn here.
Well, you know, living here on Long Island, you know, it's split.
Oh.
Some are Jets and some are, you know, Giants. The Jets fans are, hey, man, just win. Win some games. We're tired of going out there and supporting this team and losing. Well, I was in Seattle, and we made fun of losing. Well, Cleveland is the same thing, you know, and Detroit does the same thing, but New York is like, we're New York. We're supposed to win every single year. The Yankees are supposed to win every single year. You know, so they haven't done this since 1967. No, 69.
Well, when they won the Super Bowl, yeah.
No, can I tell other people that I'm half New Yorker, so these other people that live in New York, it's going to be fine. But when you live in New York and you're forced to watch only Giants and Jets football back in the day.
Horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Country folk will only understand what I'm saying now. It's like pulling hen's teeth.
Yeah.
It's that miserable. You can't even believe how miserable this is. And then, let alone, you don't get to see the game of the week ever. Oh, no. You're in New York. This is your market. Yeah, you get to suffer. There you go.
Well, no, I think, you know, this is just what New York needs. I think football needs this. I think a lot of people around the NFL are looking at Rodgers to win the Super Bowl. We wanted to see Brady win another one, but it didn't happen. Now we just want to see these guys that we've seen before. We want to see him win it. But I'll tell you this. If Aaron Rodgers does make it to the Super Bowl, Does he win it or does he lose it? He's only one for one. He's never been there and lost it. I think if he gets there, I think he wins it.
Yes.
If he gets there now, this is literally his last chance. You know what I mean? He might
last
even
hurrah,
retire. Yeah, the last hurrah. So
he gets a ring,
he
retires.
Maybe. Like Peyton Manning when he went up with Denver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
well, he missed it the first year because my Seahawks spanked him the first 7 seconds of the game, and we won it. Oh, that was beautiful. But he came back a couple years later, and, you know, Peyton Manning was determined.
I
want another ring.
I will say one thing about that game that was played that day is that the referees did not care how your Seattle team dismantled somebody defensively and in bad, egregious ways. And that happened that day from moment one on the first play. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Did anybody else see these people just do all this? Yeah,
well,
there was no way. Yeah, your energy that day was malicious.
Well, Peyton was, he was determined because his little brother had already had two MVP awards and two rings, and he only had one, and Peyton was, you know, supposedly the better quarterback, and he's like, I am determined. Well, after he lost, you know, to Seattle, it was like, nah, we're going to, you know, I got two more years, and then, of course, he won it and then retired, but... look, I don't think the Jets care that if they win a Super Bowl and Aaron Rodgers retires the next year. They got a ring. They can care less. They can go back to sucking. We're used to it. We've been there for 50 years.
Right. No, I mean, seriously, Aaron Rodgers in the AFC right now is the biggest wild card nobody even knows about. And the Jets have been a really good team for the last 2-3 years. So... they have a real quarterback? I mean, let's talk about their quarterbacks. Zach Wilson, Mike White, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
A Brissett or something. Yeah. Not good stuff. Aaron Rodgers? You might win the whole thing.
Well, I think the NFL,
if he
like
plays
I said,
the whole season, you might win the whole season.
Well, I think they the NFL set it up where, no, he does got some tough games. Well, you're playing, you're in the AFC East, so you're gonna have six games that are gonna be tough, at least.
No,
you know,
and that's why I always say in divisional games, no matter what division you are, no matter how good the division is, you go 3-3, you have a chance at the big time playoff leaderboard if you can go 50% in your own division. That's the way it works, man.
Well, in last year in the East, now Buffalo was 4-2-0 in their division. Miami was 3-3. New England was 3-3, and the Jets were 2-4. So that's still relatively competitive from last year. Well, this year is going to be completely different than last year. So
no,
yeah,
that,
like you were talking 3-3.
Yeah, that's basically 50% amongst everybody.
Well,
basically.
Look at this. Last year, the North, AFC North, everybody finished 3-3.
Yeah.
So, you know, that makes things complicated. Well, there's always people coming out with ways that everybody, well, they've got it now where everybody can win 10 games. Everybody would be 10-7. Well, I mean, I guess you'd have to go by points scored would be the you know, and that kind of stuff. But wouldn't that be that would be a kind of a that would be, you know, yeah. A great conundrum to have, you know. Definitely sports history. But I don't think it's going to happen because there's just some teams that are just going to be awful. But again, I wouldn't count out that NFC South. I know they're trying to do stuff, but I still don't think they're going to be all that good. But New Orleans and Atlanta, between them, I think Atlanta looks like the best team to win the division. Let me put it that way. They did stuff in the draft, and I think who did they bring over for their quarterback now? They got Heineke.
It's Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, Desmond Ridder.
Second year out of Cincinnati.
Yeah. Then they got Heineke, obviously, being the backup.
I feel two teams right now. Yeah, that whole the whole South Division is horrible.
It's a toss-up.
It is.
That's a flip a coin.
Like, whoever wins that division, there is no other team that's going to make the playoffs.
Right.
No,
it's going to be. Look at last year. I mean, Tampa Bay was 8-9, and everyone else was 7-10. So, I mean, their division, Tampa Bay only went to the postseason because of one game. It's going to be the same, but
were still talking Tom Brady on top of it. Like, he still went to the playoffs his last year retiring a second time or third time. I can't remember. But, yeah, Tom Brady, 8-9. Think about that. Everybody.
That was his only losing season he ever had.
And he still made the playoffs.
Amazing. Well, what was that one year? The only year he didn't make it in the playoffs was the year that New England went 11-5 or something. And
it was Matt Castle. Yeah, 11-5.
Yeah.
Matt Castle.
He got injured game one, and he was out the whole season. That was the only time he ever got injured, too. He never, you know.
And I had a friend that we had already been in fantasy football leagues for 7 years at that point. And he would never do anything, like, logistically correct. Picking somebody. And Tom Brady just had 50 touchdowns the year before. So this is the number one overall pick. My friend gets it. He does it.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady gets hurt in the first quarter of the first game. Out for the season injury.
Yeah, but still, the team ended up 11-6 and still never made it to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's asinine. That's, you know, that. How often does that happen? Well,
AFC. That was a good division that year.
You know. That's heartbreaking, you know. Well, it goes to show you know, you got to win. Every game in the NFL is critical because there's not that many. Baseball, you could go a whole week with losing. Yeah, you make that up in no time.
Right.
You know, football, no, you can't make nothing up. But, you know, Baltimore, now that they paid Jackson, I don't think he's going to be all that hot and he's going to be expected. But he also has a tendency, well, what if he is? What if he comes out and shows everybody I'm worth my 50-some million dollars a year? He could definitely do some damage to Cincinnati. I just don't think it's going to happen. But, well, Cincinnati's got to get off the schneid. They got to go out there and want it. You know what I mean? Like they had the year before when they went as far as they went, but they wanted it. And they went to the Super Bowl, and I still think they won it, but whatever. They should have won it, but they didn't. But they wanted it. Last year, they didn't seem like they wanted it. And Buffalo didn't seem like they wanted it either. Well, I mean, go ahead.
But I think it all comes down in the end that, you know, who wants it more, who has the most stamina to get through
right.
to make it to a Super Bowl and win it. You know, a lot of teams, I mean, they all want. That's the number one goal is to win the championship.
Well,
only one's going to do it. But who has got the mental and physical toughness, the stamina to go all the way through? Only one team is able to do that in the season.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But, I mean, Buffalo didn't seem to have that drive that, you know, that raison d'etre, if you will. The year before Cincinnati had it. Well, they can get it back. But Jacksonville, man, I'm telling you, that is a – I would look out for Jacksonville.
Yes.
They are looking really good. I don't see Tennessee, Indianapolis, or Houston really overtaking Jacksonville.
That would be a problem.
Yeah. Well, Houston, I think, that C.J. Stroud, I don't know. Well, that's typical Houston. Houston drafted him. First of all, they're going to ruin him even if he's good. And if he's not,
right.
It's typical Houston. They love to draft the stink bombs. So, Houston, you were 3-13-1 last year. Well, yeah, you'll be about the same.
Yes.
But Indianapolis, didn't they get somebody? Who did they get now for their quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh,
who
Minshew.
Is that? Who are you talking about?
Indianapolis.
Minshew?
Yeah, they went Minshew.
Gardner Minshew, yeah.
But they're also saying that Richardson, the guy they drafted, is looking to be starting very soon. So Minshew's going to go out there and, you know, be the warm-up band, and then Richardson's going to take over. So Indianapolis, I don't see them doing much. I mean, you're in a very transitional year like you have for several years. But they got screwed over by their quarterbacks. I mean, Luck totally put them behind.
Oh, no. I'm tired of hearing about Andrew Luck. I'm sorry.
So
am I. That was 6 years ago, okay? Okay, that's 6 years ago. We are well past any damage that Andrew Luck did to that franchise. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying this team
Several years clear of it.
I know, but it's several years that they've had this. Then they went, then Rivers screwed them over. Then they had nothing for the last 3 years. They just can't seem to find anything. My point is they've had bad luck now for the past, well, about – even with Luck. I mean, he did bring them to...
Bad luck or no luck.
You know, they did bring them to the title game, and they lost it. So, you know, they were doing good with him, and then after that, he got injured. And the Indianapolis Colts for the last, probably 10 years now, they have been just, I don't know if it's cursed or whatever, but they can't seem to find their groove. They need another Peyton Manning, but, you know...
Only
I don't see. Well, they're looking for their guy that can bring him to the promised land. Well, I think it's going to be several years from now. In Tennessee, I don't know.
At least the next decade.
And the Browns are still going to be the Browns. Detroit, I don't know. They're still going to be Detroit. They're still going to find a way to screw it up. If they get to the playoffs, they're probably going to win. They're going to get there, but they're going to come out like a lion or come in like a lion and out like a lamb. That's the Lions.
Yeah, the war will be gone.
Well, who knows? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. Tennessee went with Levis. Well, I know there's a lot of question marks with Levis. Of course, there's a lot of question marks with a lot of guys. But, you know, he got dipped in the, you know, first round. But, you know, look, Tom Brady, what, he's a sixth or seventh round, something like that, fifth round. So
it
doesn't really matter what round you're in. It's what you do when you get there. If Levis really
Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Brock Purdy. Look at that. He wanted it. He got the opportunity. Yeah. He got the opportunity and said, I'm going to do everything I can, and I'm injured, and I can't move my arm, but I'm still going to go out there and play. And we'll find out if Levis wants it. I mean, hey, look, you're in Tennessee, and they do love their team there in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nashville does love their team, so.
Yes.
But now you've got Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Now, it's going to be his ninth year. And for a running back, you know, you're starting, and we've already seen. He's starting to get injured, and we're starting to see him slow down. Well, you know, does he have another year where he's taking this off season and getting himself stronger? Does he have another second wind? If he does and Levis wants it, I mean, Tennessee could put up a fight. But I still think it's Jacksonville's division to lose, but we'll find out. So what do you think, Seth? What are the Raiders going to do?
I don't really want to think about it, but with Garoppolo, is he really a better solution than Carr? I mean, to be honest, I have to weigh it out. And I don't know.
Well, it may not. It doesn't have to be more a lateral kind of move, but think just different than Carr, just being a different body, and someone in the locker room can sometimes change everything. Like with the Jets, now a real quarterback, and in the locker room, things might be, you know, they got a drive, a mission, and they're all feeling it. You know, and sometimes with that kind of energy, the team starts to feel it and they take it on and they go all the way. So,
everything that's happened to Raiders in the last 5 years from every different aspect, I can't even explain to an organization that, we're not going to the playoffs this year, but they might be able to figure out how to get there after this year. So that's where I'm going with that.
Okay.
Well, what do you want to know about comparisons, Beth? I've got the stats right here. They've played an equal amount of years in the league.
What was that? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Garoppolo and Carr.
It's just a change of another person, but they still got to get over the Chargers and Kansas City, so they got a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
well,
if you forgot, Russell Wilson is in Denver, and they paid him a lot of money. So Denver, on paper, is supposed to be still good.
Yeah.
But I see some clashes between him and Peyton. I don't see those two getting along. But maybe they will. Maybe they might gel. I don't know.
Well, I'll never know.
No, but I mean, first of all, I don't know why Denver paid him that contract. Russell Wilson was slipping and sliding the last few years in Seattle. We couldn't wait to get rid of him. And now you're going to give this guy, he's not going to be the Russell Wilson that you saw win the Super Bowl. He's much older than that now. And he doesn't have that will anymore. He doesn't have that drive. His head is more in other things than it is in the football. And if you can't see that, I don't know, maybe watch the games. Watch what he was doing in Seattle. I mean, we saw him every year. You know, he was great at scrambling to getting out of the way and making a play. You know, I think Mahomes does it a little bit better, but he was good at doing it. Well, there were times where he just dropped. It's like he didn't even try. Like when Brett Favre laid down for Michael Strahan, it's like, dude, come on. You could have got away from that. And he laid down, and all Strahan did was touch him. Oh, and he gets the record. Oh, please. That was pathetic. That made me sick. I'm still bummed about that. You know. But whatever. So, well, you guys are talking a bunch tonight. Well, what else did we miss here tonight? Let's see. Well, we covered that. Judge hit 7 games. The Stanley Cup playoffs. Florida, Carolina are on tonight.
Well, what about Herman from the Yankees to get kicked out of a game pitching as a perfect game? That happened this week. You see that, Skeet?
What did he get kicked out for?
Sticky substance on his fingers.
That'll do it every time, yeah.
Well, but he had a perfect game.
So what was he, like one out away from a perfect game and they threw him out? Or?
Yeah, yep, Herman, G-E, you spell it German and English, but in Spanish you say Herman. Yeah, for the Yankees.
Oh,
it was this week.
That's interesting. Well,
I heard.
You know, a lot of these guys, you know, none of those pitchers still do it. I don't think Nolan Ryan ever did anything with the ball. I don't think he never really talked about it or never got caught. But he just was naturally wild. And he just figured out a way to have it come close to the plate and, you know, go so fast, the umpire had no choice. Oh, strike. Screw it. I don't know. I don't know where the hell it was. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Well, with the NHL, see if I can pull that up. Here now. Mike Kraken. They got spanked. But, hey, look, second year in the league. Hey, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, looks like Las Vegas. They beat Dallas. And good for Las Vegas. Las Vegas, their first year as a franchise in hockey in Las Vegas. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well,
still your first year.
Yeah.
Yep, first year.
So that's, you know, that's incredible. You know, your first year as a franchise and you go all the way to the big game. You know,
what are you talking about? The Kraken? The Kraken.
No,
Vegas.
Also the Vegas Knight.
Knuggets.
Knights.
Aren't they the Golden Knuggets? That's what they are. I was thinking the Black Knights, but no.
I believe so.
They should be something in Vegas, you know, like the Nuggets or, you know, something Vegas-y.
Yeah.
Not the Knights. I mean, that's kind of Golden. I know you got Gold in there, but then the Knights? Come on.
No, they're kind of Knights of Templar, and they're protecting all the world's protected treasures. It's going to be fine. Everyone's going to be okay.
You know, you can actually put like a knight in shining armor or a knight in white satin or, you know, anything like that. Yeah.
A are the knights that say knee.
I know.
That's a...
yeah.
Unbelievable. But, hey, look, I mean, hey, it's Vegas, and Vegas is going to be getting baseball now. And good for Oakland for moving out of there. Good for athletics.
Oh, no. If you look at how long ago people said Vegas would never get a professional team to compare to Vegas might be one of the cities that actually has a four-team sport. That's Vegas. It's happening.
They need basketball next. Do they have basketball?
Yeah.
They'll get one. It's not going to be that hard. You got three other big time sports teams there now. Basketball team.
You don't think the Charlotte Bobcats want to move?
I was going to say you're going to probably take Charlotte. Charlotte, you're the Las Vegas Hornets or whatever you want to call yourself at that point. Wasp, maybe.
It's looking like it's turning into a sports capital, and you've got gambling, and you got sports, and you've got beautiful prostitutes. I mean, how can you go? You can't go wrong. Casinos, booze, women, sports. I mean, it's Disneyland. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, well, that city is growing. It's getting big. Yeah, but.
And the best thing about Vegas, when you're talking about bringing in the huge money from the professional athletes and those contracts, is not only do they get the revenue benefits of having the pro sports teams there, but they also get the athletes dumping their money into the hoes and the casinos. I mean, it's a win in all directions for Vegas.
Now, nobody loses except for the gambler, but the people go there to lose. Nobody goes there to say, I'm going to win. No, you're going there. I hear all this money I have in my pocket. Well, now I'm going to blow it, and I'm going to have a great time, So.
What is this, Babe Ruth at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Oh, man. No, hey, look, I think it's good. I don't know why people were so worried about bringing a sports team to Vegas because – of gambling. I'm thinking, well, over the freaking country, in every city that has a sports team, why would it be any different?
Oh, no, but Ski, that's why it had to change, because back in the day, it was only Vegas and Atlantic City. That was it, period. There was no gambling nowhere. Then with the tribes, and they opened that up, once they opened that up, now, you can't drive 20, 30 miles any direction in America, and somehow there's a tribe that you don't even know existed for 1,000 years, and they got a casino.
I love casinos. We go to Atlantic City, me and my friend, and Lou, who used to be on the show, and we'd be there all night long, and just playing the slots, Sometimes you come home with a couple hundred bucks. But, I just love the atmosphere of a casino. In Las Vegas, I loved Las Vegas. I would have loved to live there. I mean, Vegas is a lot of fun. Reno, all of them, But Vegas is Vegas has just got that, that mystique about it. And it's always something happening. They say New York never sleeps. Well, Vegas doesn't sleep either. Not when I was there. But casinos, people are gambling all night long. 24 hours a day.
No, I feel like the commercial, when people are like, we don't talk about Vegas, that's why I'm not saying nothing. Nope. Mm.
Well, good. I hope they do get a basketball team. Then they would have everything.
Yeah.
Well, that city is growing big and big and big. But the thing about it is a lot of people that come to Vegas don't live in Vegas. The people that live in Vegas aren't the gamblers. It's Vegas.
Here's the thing, though. Vegas has every sports fan known to man coming to their city. Everyone.
Absolutely.
So, you got a professional sports team that you can watch your favorite team play live. You're going to do it. Period. Done. Unbelievable.
They're not going to have any trouble at all at selling tickets.
No.
You know, and even the comp tickets, you know, whatever. But with baseball, the Oakland Athletics have not had what they got, less than 1,000 people show up to their games. I mean,
wow.
You got more people at a PTA meeting than you got at a, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous.
You got more at a Little League game.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, and they got to move, and good for them. And I think when I guarantee you their first game, I guarantee it's a sellout. Guaranteed. So, no, I'm looking forward to that. And it's a shame because, Oakland Raiders, I still call them Oakland Raiders. And when they moved to L.A., I never could call them the Los Angeles Raiders. That was like blasphemy to me. And it just was, I could not do it.
Like Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, the Chargers started out.
They're always going to be the Redskins. The Redskins. Sorry.
Yeah, the Redskins. Yes,
like,
and they will be.
And I don't like that team.
And the Indians, not the, what are they, the Guardians?
Right.
What the hell
Guardians.
Is that?
Wow.
The Guardians? And the Commanders? Oh, please, guys. Who names these names? Yeah.
Come on, guys. Let's not cry over our pearl milling pancake syrup here.
No.
Yes.
No, I remember Uncle Ben.
Well, what I want to say is, has the deal gone through? With the team being sold?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Oh, I heard it was done.
No, it has to wait until after the next round of meetings are over, at least.
Oh, you mean the owners have to vote. Yeah, I got you.
Yep.
Well, see, I don't like this move because it's owned by a conglomerate, and I think that's bad for the team because it's not really run like it should be run. And you run, and there's like 14 millionaires, a couple billionaires, and all these different entities that actually own the team. And that is chaos because everybody thinks they're in charge and nobody's really in charge. And, you know, you got all this corporate stuff and this and that. And it just takes away the spirit of owning a team. I hope they say no. I hope the owners say no, but they won't. I mean, look at a lot of teams.
Say yes. They've been trying to get Snyder out.
They've been trying to force him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to go yes, and it's going to happen, but – you know, I don't know. I could bitch on for hours, but
yeah,
it's not going to do any good. Well, you know, the whole thing is, you know, I think Washington probably needs to move. That's not a very big market. They don't really draw a lot of fans.
No.
They do, but they don't. It's not a real big market. It really isn't.
No, it isn't.
Well, it's not that big of a city. Well, it's a district, whatever you want to call it. But
it's
in the surrounding areas, you got close to that. Most of those people go to Baltimore and watch the Ravens.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you got politicians that, you know, trying to, please their secretaries, whatever, take them out there and that, but most people, they're not a diehard Washington Redskins fan. Oh, yeah. You just don't have those.
Right.
And they don't travel like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the old Raiders used to do. Pittsburgh Steelers go wherever they go. Every time we played them in the Kingdom, every single time, I mean, half the crowd was in Pittsburgh. You know, it's like, what do you people do? Don't you have jobs? How the hell do you you travel so much. Well, they're dedicated.
That's right. And the Cowboys too.
Yes. Yeah. You know, but yeah, nobody's going to be following the Commanders.
No.
I still like it better, the football team. I like that. And they had just the numbers on their helmet. Just get to this. Just be simple. Just get back to playing football. So, well, I don't know what's with that whole thing of, wasn't there like the whole front office was had sexual harassment charges against him or something? The whole front office was a mess, and yeah, the NFL's been trying to get rid of him for whatever reason. But
yep.
Well, we do have another caller. We've got about 10 minutes left. And it looks like they do want to speak. So I have no idea what the phone number is or what your name is. So I'm going to read the last four digits of your phone number. The last four digits are 2482. You're now on the air. Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Oh, happy Saturday to you. I love the show. I know you guys are big soccer fans. But what are your thoughts on the USA hiring Jesse Marsh?
We're not soccer fans. I don't know. Viper, are you up on soccer?
I don't know. What is that? 11 guys trying to score and.
Well, I think it was.
I don't know that I know much about soccer.
They just hung up. I think he called the wrong Blog Talk Radio show. Yeah, you guys are great soccer fans. No, we're not. Well, I don't know.
What's the joke again?
If I wanted to watch
11 guys try to score, I'd go to a bar or something.
Yeah.
No.
Well, 11 guys running around and never score.
It was funny, caller. It was funny.
Yeah.
But New York is looking to host the World Cup Final 26, maybe. But they got stiff competition, too.
Well,
hey, next time
soccer,
someone calling about cricket.
Hey,
cricket.
Me and Doc, we did 3 hours, solid 3 hours, just me and Doc on curling. The curling. We had broken down. We did a bunch of research on the air, and we had talked about curling, and we even brought a guy on who's an actual curler. Was that you, Seth, that brought him on? Or it could have been Doc, but anyway.
I was there, yeah.
Yeah, remember that? Well, then one time, it was like the next week, it was only me and Doc. No one else was on, and it was just me and Doc, and we did 3 hours of curling. We could talk just about anything. We used to talk about NASCAR, but NASCAR is not racing anymore. It went woke and this, that, and everything else. It's no longer a sport anymore. No racing. We got timeouts. No, you don't have a timeout in a race. That's pathetic. Right.
You got stages. Yeah, that's weird.
Hey,
how many people on the show right now have actually done curling? Because I have.
Well, I want to do it. Bad. I think there's clubs and stuff. Is it really hard to do it? Or, I mean, is it more of a trick with the wrist? And you probably have to have good, strong legs and probably good arms too, right?
I'm going to tell you right now, they make it look way easier than it is.
That's what I figured.
I consider myself a pretty good athlete. I mean, I can ice skate, but trying to slide on that ice in that position and push that rock with any kind of control or intention, oh, my God. I mean, I was horrible. I mean, it was so hard. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because it does look like it's easy, but also you're looking, you need to have strong legs. And
I
think it's probably more with a wrist, a feeling, and you probably have to have good arm, forearm, you know, more of a feeling of a rhythm of, you know, of pushing the rock to the, you know, the right speed. Because it's like shuffleboard. You go too fast, what happens? Everything goes flying. You go too slow, what happens? Well, you don't go anywhere. So, you know, it's, you know, getting that right, you know.
I would say it's mostly in the legs, and you have to have tremendous balance. It's you're on ice. You're on. It's like bowling on ice. And if you can imagine throwing a bowling ball on ice, I mean, it's probably pretty tough. So yeah, it's a lot like that. And you know, it was way harder than I ever imagined.
Well, there was different pounds of the rock. Some of them are used for going down first, and then others are, I guess, lighter, and they're used to, like, knock other ones out. Is that what you played, or everybody had the same weight?
It was all the same weight.
Oh, okay. Well, we had broken it down, and, you know, like I said, and, you know, I like watching curling, and for the Olympics, that's one of my favorites. You know, it is, it's mesmerizing. You're watching it. It's almost trance-like.
Yeah.
You know, watching this, like, why am I watching this? Like watching fishing. Yeah. I can watch fishing shows, too. I mean,
that's a great fish. That's a good fish.
But I just, you know, if you like to fish, which I haven't been fishing in a long time, and I love fishing, I miss it. You know, it can be a lot of fun. It's a lot more exciting if you like it. But, you know, like with soccer, I mean, you know, again, it's mainly for, you know, in America, it's for kids. And then once you grow up, you no longer play it. You play something else.
Well, here we go. Here's something I did recall reading this week, if you're talking about fishing and it being a sport. I'm looking up the article now, but there was some guy who got caught putting lead weights in his fish in a competition, and he got arrested.
Ohio,
he's in jail for 10 days.
Yep. Yeah, you don't screw around, man. Those boys take that stuff seriously. I mean, be arrested. Seems like, you know, it's just a competition. Just give it back.
Yeah,
to,
it was actually a pair of two people. There was two dudes that worked as a team on that, and they did that. They fed their fish weight. And you know what? No, before they got caught, I think they won like $20,000+ in competition.
Well, they had to pay. They lose their $130,000 boat in the process and get 10 days in jail.
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah,
they lost their boat too.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Well, don't cheat. No. Well, look what happened with the Yankees. You know, what was it? One out away from a perfect game, and they caught him. Who caught him? Was it one of the somebody saying, oh, he's got something, or how'd they catch him?
I smell a rat.
Seth?
No, I don't know with Herman. I just know.
How did they catch him?
They stopped him from a perfect game. Like a perfect
How
game,
you,
and you are getting ejected. That's cray cray.
Yeah. Well. Who was that? That he was famous for that. Was that Gaylord Perry? He was famous for emery boards. You know, women use for their nails and sandpaper, and I mean, this guy would come. I mean, he's like a freaking hardware store. He's up there on the mound, you know. Motor oil's falling out of his pockets. I mean, they're just bringing all kinds of stuff in there. But hey, look, I mean, what do they say? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, you know.
You ain't trying.
Well, it depends on how you cheat. Well, the Yankees got busted again. Speaking of that, I forgot. I read the story. I forgot to bring it up last week. But they got busted for found out that they were stealing signs through a computer in the dugout or in the clubhouse or something. And they're flashing different. I don't know. They were doing, well, they got busted for it. And, you know, stealing signs that way, that's, you know, that's kind of cheap when you're using electronics. You know, that's kind of cheap. You got to do it natural. You see what the catcher's doing. You got a guy on second base, and he's going to, you know, signal into the batter. It's, you know, the old-fashioned way. But stealing signs is part of the game. But you don't do it with electronics, and you don't have buzzers on your chest like Altuve did. I mean, come on. That's going a little far. I know you want to get an edge.
Garbage cans and banging them like drums.
You know, I know you want to get an edge, but, you know, there comes to a point, man, where you need to have a little integrity.
But you win, and it did help you win, and everybody years later is still whining and complaining about it, and you still won.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, yeah, but I mean, look at the steroids, guys. Yeah, you were hitting tons of home runs, but it was because of the drugs. So,
no,
I mean,
but if you really talk about the steroid era, that happened, there was actually a strike in baseball that there was no ever strike in baseball ever that we didn't have a World Series. I think this was 1987 off the top of my head.
No,
after 94. You players, whatever, that you did all that. So, yeah, you got to see a little different things, but you know what? People seeing home runs again brought everybody back to baseball, and it took about 6 years for it to get back to that level, and it was sad. And a person like myself, that those players ever strike, and they did. We had World Series games in World War II, and we only had 16. And we even created a women's league so we could have baseball. So you can kiss my on that. Sorry, I don't want to speak French.
Well, tell us how you really feel, Seth. I mean, don't hold back or nothing. Well, we got 90 seconds. I just got it in my ear. So, what did we miss? Lou, go ahead and plug your show real quick.
You got it. The Enhanced Sports Show, Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Number to call is 512-543-4662. We cover almost everything in the sports world. Some weeks we cover more than others. Of course, we have the basic four, but we also cover the majors in golf. We also cover in tennis, even the Triple Crown horse racing. So basically, we got it all covered. So tap in. If you got time next week between 4 and 6, give the show a call. I'll say them one more time, 512-543-4662. And also check us out on YouTube. Dial in on YouTube, the Enhanced Sports Show, and you'll see this week's show already posted up.
All right. I think I will. All right, my good friend. Well, I want to thank everybody. We had some people in the chat room. I want to thank Viper, Seth, thank you guys very much. And, of course, Lou, thank you very much for coming on tonight. I thought we had a good show. And, yeah, we're going to be talking like Sunday and Monday. I'll get it on a text. But, yeah, we're going to it's all going to be good. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you back here next Saturday night, 6 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.